Good morning. It is great to be in the house of the Lord. What a beautiful morning it is. I have, amen? Can we do it one more time? Good morning. You did not convince me that it's a good morning, okay? I mean, listen, let me just say this first. The sun is shining. It is nice outside and Jesus is on the throne. He's reigning supreme. Good morning. There we go. Amen. Praise the Lord. This was late. He said good morning 5 seconds later. He says he's tired. I don't know. But anyway. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, also a new book that we are featuring in the library right back here in the corner. Waldo has a church library and this is new that's come in. Truths We Confess. It's a systematic exposition of the Westminster Confession of Faith, also by R.C. Sproul. And so I'd love for you to check this out. Rita and Britt will have it in there a little bit later if you would like to look it over. It's great. He has some other books that are really good. The Holiness of God is a great book to check out as well, so you would love that. Also have kids' books, so I want you to know too. Anyone else have a maroon shirt on today? I don't know, it's kind of maroon day. Anyway, yeah, all right. Yeah, I know, I'm blue, but anyway. Okay, today following the 10 a.m. service, Brother Caleb will hold a meeting for parents of all students attending Mission Fuge, okay? There will be a special call business meeting on Wednesday, April the 24th at 6:30 p.m. This will be a special call business meeting to vote on the salary package that will be coming for the next pastor, okay? Journey 2911 College Young Adult Class will travel to Lambert's Cafe for lunch on Sunday, April the 28th, immediately following the 10 a.m. service. Please see Brother David Atwell for that. How many of you are young adults? Yeah. Every one of us, right? Yeah. 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 Anyone 100 and below, we're good. No, I'm kidding.
Gonna need a bigger boat.
Yeah, there you go. The annual Mother's Day banquet will be held on Saturday, May the 4th at 10 a.m. Please sign up at the welcome desk if you plan to attend. The guest speaker for this year will be Diane Leonard. And so you will be blessed by listening to her and her sharing her heart with you all. So sign up at the desk for that. It'll also be, we'll have some catered food there as well. A list of items needed for the vacation BBS decorating has been posted on the bulletin board near the front door. Donate items may be left in the wagon in the office. You can also find the list in the newsletter published on the app. And lastly, BBS decoration meeting is tonight at 5:30. Okay, and if you have any questions on that, see Jen Heine as well. So there's going to be a meeting, Vacation Bible School, on that. You got one? Okay. I thought he was waving at me, David.
April 28th, that's a Sunday afternoon. From 5 to 7, we will be having a church-wide family game night. Just to come together, have a good time, play some card games, board games, and get to fellowship with one another. We'll have snacks and finger foods and things like that. So that's April 28th from 5 to 7 p.m.
Did you say food?
I said food.
All right, good deal. All right. Bring food, they'll come, right? Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the wonderful privilege and opportunity to be here this morning, to be able to worship you in song and in the word. And Father, we know that you and you alone are worthy of our worship and praise. Father, we ask that God, you would glorify yourself. And we thank you for all that you have done and all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. Lord, at the end of this service, we're gonna visualize and see just a wonderful Savior you are in the baptismal of Millie. And Father, as she has put her faith and trust in you, she has given an outward sign of an inward decision that has been made in her life. And Father, we see the beauty of that. And so, Father, now we ask that you would speak to us boldly, strongly, and convictingly in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand amen. Together. Hey, hold on, real quick. I got one more thing. Good transition here. This is Grayson
Isaiah.
Terry and Jessica's third boy. Grayson, y'all look here. Y'all, I got to go over here to Lori too because sometimes she gets left out. See there? Look at that smile, Lori. Oh, yeah, got the hiccups. Yeah. All right, this side, the right side. All right, we got to go right over here to the left side. Look at there, Bill. Look at balcony, y'all see? Let me get over here in the middle. Grayson, Isaiah, he's got the hiccups. You ready to eat something? All right, 1, 2, 3. Oh, my goodness. Keep filling that nursery up now. We got to have a good transition here. Easy, Terry. All right, we good? Oh, look at you. He's a keeper. Praise the Lord. God is good. Let's all stand together and worship.
I'll raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I'll raise a hallelujah louder than my unbelief. I'll raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King.
Though the tears may fall, my song will rise to you. Though my heart may fail, my song will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. In the dead of night, I'll lift my eyes to you. When the waters rise, I'll lift my eyes, I'll lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart,
Trinity, from the
can have some ushers come now as we worship with our tithes and our offerings, as we give back to God how He has so blessed us with and in. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jim, would you bless this offering?
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears stood in the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. I want to establish some things at the very beginning as we begin to study through this. I want to warn you that we are going to be diving deep. We're not going to be snorkeling. We're going to go deep down into the waters of grace. We're going to be talking about some beautiful things and some hard things. And there will be some things that when you leave here, you'll be thinking of. I hope that's the case. And but I want to establish some things before we ever get started. And we have to establish these things in order to understand that God is God and we aren't. Sometimes we want to put ourselves on the same playing level as God, and it's not even close. We're not even in the same sphere. He is far above us. The Bible says that God isn't just holy, that He is holy, holy, holy. That he is trishagion holy. And therefore, sometimes in our thinking, if we're not careful, we want to think that we can help God. That we have a better idea than God. That we have a better thought than God. God, if you would just listen to me, I might can help you out just a little bit. Doesn't work that way. There's no way that we can ever help God out. God is bigger and smarter and stronger than we can ever even fathom. And we have to understand this too, that God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. I want you to think about something as we move a little bit forward here, is that if it were left up to you, and there wasn't nothing in existence right now, you can't even fathom it, right? How would you have created things? How would you have made something? So the reason you can't fathom it right now is because of this. You and I can see and think on terms of what we see and know. But what if there was nothing here and you were the only one? How would you? You can't. You see, God created out of nothing. You and I create out of something. If we're going to create a picture, we have to have a paintbrush, we have to have paint, we have to have a board, we have to have paper, we have to have all of these things. And so therefore, but God created ex nihilo, he created out of nothing. What did he do? He spoke it all into existence. And everything that you and I see, everything that you and I hear, everything that you and I touch, everything that we're around, God has created and God has made. How in the world can we ever give our input as to what we think it should have been done or how it should have been done? As I think about this message, I was talking to Brother Jack before I got up here. I said, man, God's mercy is amazing. All you got to do is look in the mirror to see that God's mercy is absolutely amazing and absolutely great and awesome. You know, God created everything. God made us and God gave us His mercy and God gave us salvation for those who put their faith and trust in Him. We didn't deserve it. None of us deserve the goodness of God. Let's just be real. And I know this is not popular preaching. And if you're going to sit in here today, it's not going to be a popular preaching. It's not going to be a tickling of the ears kind of preaching. I want us to know the truth. I want us to see the truth today. Because it will lay out everything in the foundation of doctrine and theology that sets everything in our life to be able to understand and grasp the goodness of God and His mercy in our life. See, we live in a world today, and it's been this way, not just today, that we think we deserve things. Unappreciative. The truth of the matter is, according to Scripture, and I'm going to stay close to Scripture, because if we're going to argue with anything, you've got to argue with Scripture. And I'm going to tell you something, you'll lose every time. You can argue with opinions, but you can't argue with Scripture. You can beat against it all you want, but you're not going to win. I've read the end of the book. God has already won. And so when we look at this and we begin to understand how awesome God is and how great He is, and we look at His mercy, what we truly deserve is hell. And in His mercy, God chooses for Himself a people through salvation in His Son Jesus. And we began to look at that, you and I, as a believer, you and I are getting what we don't deserve. What we deserve is hell. But what we are getting through His grace and through His mercy is a relationship with Jesus and heaven. We have to understand and know this, that there really is a hell to shun. And there really is a heaven to gain. And if we're not careful, we can walk through this life not giving any thought or recollection that there really is a heaven and there really is a hell. But the truth of the matter is that there's going to come a day when you will breathe your last here. It's going to happen. Have you ever known anyone to live forever? It's what you do. Not in works, but it's what you do in faith that will determine where you will be when you breathe your last here. Because you will breathe your last. As a believer, you'll breathe your first in heaven. If your faith and trust is in Jesus Christ. But if it isn't, and you're trying to go of your own accord, thinking you've got it all figured out, you'll deal with that later on. I don't have to worry about that now. You don't even know if you're going to be here in the next 5 minutes. And you say, I've got time to do all that. And then you breathe your last here, and you've never accepted Christ Jesus as the atoning sacrifice for your life, then you will breathe your first in hell. And it will be forever and ever and ever. You see, Paul is laying out a case. He's beginning to talk here, and I want you to see here, because some scholars will say, well, he's talking about nations. Yes and no. Yes, he's bringing about nations here as an example, but what makes up a nation? People. People make up a nation, and so what he's talking about here is God's sovereign choosing or God's sovereign election over a nation of Israel. Let's just think about this. I'm going to try to go really slow because I need to. I have to process things slow. I want to share it slow. I want us to take it in because we're going to leave here chewing on some things. What if God said, I'm just going to choose the nation of Israel? And no one else. He's God. God can do as He pleases. He is the Creator. He can do as He pleases. But in God's grace and mercy, what did He do? The gospel now is not just for the people of Israel. And not all Israel's Israel. The gospel is now going to the Gentiles. And the gospel is now spreading. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ in a fallen world. And Paul here is in anguish. He is in turmoil. Let me start in verse. I know we covered this last week, but we have to back up and then go on down. He says in verse 1, I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it. Through the Holy Spirit, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed and cut off from Christ. Paul's relationship now is not in a religion. It's in Christ. You got to get that. There are so many people who are depending upon a religion and not a relationship and a person of Jesus Christ. And so here he's saying that I will wish myself cut off that they may know Jesus. Is our heart's desire of this desire that we wished ourselves to be cut off for the sake of my neighbor, for the sake of my family, for the sake of my friends, for the sake of my co-workers, that they know Jesus Christ? And Paul here goes on. The people of Israel, theirs is the adoption of sonship. There's the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. There's are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. Everything in Paul's letters and everything in Paul's life points to Jesus. He's turned from that way of works, that way of traditions, the way of his old life, and he's now turned to the one who has saved him, the one who is now directing his life, and that is Jesus. How will you see a born-again believer? How will you know a born-again believer? Because they are following after Christ. God is so good. Just a couple of weeks ago, Millie gave her life to Christ. Ariana gave her life to Christ last week. I thought about that all the way home and all that night. And I'm saying that right, Ariana, right? I get it wrong sometimes. Walked out, you know how I shake hands. They walked out. Everyone was going. Everyone was almost gone. And Ariana and her friends come back in and says this, "I'm lost. I want to be saved." As grace. As grace. The good news is, if you're lost, you could be saved. Because of what Jesus did, because of what God has orchestrated and what He's doing. Now let me get into the bare bones here. We ready? It is not as though God's word had failed. For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Just because you're in Israel doesn't make you. Just because you are going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you go to pizza, it doesn't make you a pizza. Look what he says. Nor because they are his descendants, or are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the children of physical descent who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise. You're not saved because you're born into a Christian family. By pumpkin. You're not saved because you're born into, well, my mom and dad were Christians. Doesn't make you a Christian. You don't got a pass because your mom or dad was a Christian or your grandma. That gives me a pass. No! Every single one of us will stand before God. And we will give an account. And just because you come from Abraham, or just because you come from Israel, doesn't make you a Christian. This is what Paul is bringing about. He knows what his people are thinking because he is one of them. And he realized that he was going in the wrong direction. Do you know it takes a wise man and a big man to admit when they're going in the wrong direction? And it takes a wise woman to know when they're going in the wrong direction, to admit that that way I was going was wrong. It's wrong. I want you to know, the world wants you to go in its direction. It will make it look so good. It will trap your kids, your grandkids. Why? Because if we're not careful, we have a warped view of God. God loves everybody. You see, we talk about the love of God, but we don't talk about the wrath of God. Do you and I know that we were born under the wrath of God? We were born separated from God. We weren't born Christians. That's universalism. You and I were born in need. We were in need of a Savior. Just like children, Grayson here is born in need of mom and dad caring for his needs. You and I were born with a problem. And the problem is sin. And that sin is what separates us from God. Therefore, God, seeing in that His mercy and grace come and was displayed at the cross, and He came and did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He died in our place. Guys, listen, this is great news. I hope you're not just hearing all the bad news, but you can't really understand the good news until you see the bad news. And Paul is laying this out. Let me go on. Man, time flies when you're having fun. In verse 8, in other words, it is not the children of physical descent who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this was how the promise was stated. At the appointed time, I will return and Sarah will have a son. Not only that, but Rebekah's children were conceived at the same time by our father Isaac. Now catch this. Yet, before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, before they were born, before they had done anything good or bad, therefore God don't look down through there and say, well, they're good, so they're good. Oh, they're bad, they're bad. Before they were born, before they had done anything good or bad, look what it says. In order that God's purpose in election might stand. Uh-oh, there's that bad word. It's not a bad word. It's in the Bible, it's good. Many times people don't want to talk about election. They don't want to talk about predestination. How do you get around it? It's scriptural. Well, this is how I view it. You and I should view it through the eyes and lens of God's sovereign purpose. That's why when I look in the mirror, I don't see anything good. The only good I see in me now is the Holy Spirit who's done a work in my life. I am who I am by the grace of God. You are who you are by the grace of God. You and I are even kept by the grace of God. We are held by the grace of God. This gives us reason to praise God. What we want to do is tell God how He should do it. How we think He should. God, I think You should do it this way. I really don't know. Think about that for a moment, telling God what He should do. Telling God what He should do is telling God that He didn't do it right. You and I come under the umbrella of God's grace and God's mercy, knowing that God is sovereign supreme over all things, including your salvation. I can't save anyone. One preacher had a sign on his desk that said, there is a Savior and I'm not He. I can't save you for salvation. I can't save your marriage. Only God can do that. I can't save my children. I can't save my grandchildren. But what we can do as parents, as grandparents, as great-grandparents, what we can do is put our children and our grandchildren and our great-children in front of the gospel as much as possible, knowing that faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It is through the hearing of the gospel that we're saved. How often are we preaching the gospel to our family? You and I believe with all of our heart we love our family. Do we love them enough to preach the gospel to them day in, day out? I want us to think about that. We live in a world that wants you to ignore the gospel. You and I should be shouting it from the rooftops of the good news of Jesus Christ. You and I have a story to tell. Believe me, I have a story to tell. And I'm going to tell it till the day that God brings me home, because I have been saved by God's grace and kept by His grace. And it is His mercy that moved in this Tillman boy's life. Let me go on. I'm getting wound up. Is it hot in here or is it just me? It's just me, okay? That's okay. Where am I at? Let's start at verse 19. Is that right? No. Verse 14. What then shall we say? No, let me back up a little further. Verse 10. I thought I was further than that. Not only that, but Rebekah's children were conceived at the same time by out of our father Isaac, yet before the twins were born had done anything good or bad in order that God's purpose and election might stand, not by works, but by Him who calls. She was told, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. This is hard stuff. You and I have to remember again, let me remind us, you and I were born enemies of God. We weren't born best friends with God. The Bible says it was God's kindness and goodness that led us to repentance. I wasn't seeking God. Believe me. I wasn't pursuing Him. There was times that I would literally mock Him. Maybe not out loud, but by my actions. The way I was living. But praise be to God, He was pursuing me. I didn't open my own eyes to see. He opened them. I didn't open my ears to hear. He opened them. All glory and all praise goes to God. Not by anything I've done. It said not by works. If you could earn your salvation by your works, then there's no need of the cross. The cross is there because you and I couldn't earn it by human effort. And then he goes on, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not, therefore, depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For Scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. He raised Pharaoh up for the purpose of displaying his power. We automatically have this human tendency to say, God, what? We don't have the power to do that. And we don't have the authority to do that. Scripture speaks, and you and I are to bow to the Word of God and to the Master of all creation, who knows and can and do all things, and everything is for His glory. Now pride swells up within us, and we want to say, well, God, you might need a little help here. I'm being real here, okay? God doesn't need our help. God didn't create us because He needed our help. God didn't make us because He needed our help. Isaiah 43:7 says that you and I were created for the glory of God. You and I are created for the glory of God. This is great. Let me get going here just a little bit faster. One of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us? For who is able to resist His will? But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Who are we to talk back to God? Who can resist His will? Charles Spurgeon says, when God wills to save, save it will be. You can resist until God says no more resisting. Don't think God can't pin you. Says, who can resist His will? Who are you that's going to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use? God can do as He pleases in your life, and praise be to God for that. When I look at you and I look at myself, God doesn't make mistakes. There is a purpose and a reason He made you in this day and time. And there is a reason and a purpose for things that we go through in our life. It may not have been the direction that you thought or you saw, but God has a greater purpose and will for your life. That's what the Word says. That's what the Bible says. Does not the potter have the right to make out of some lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use? What if God, although choosing to show His wrath and make His power known, bore with great patience the objects of His wrath, prepared for destruction? What if He did this to make the riches of His glory known to the objects of mercy, whom He prepared in advance for glory? Even us, whom He also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. That is great news. The salvation isn't only for the Jews, but it's also for the Gentiles. I literally believe that those who are in Christ Jesus are the new Israel. Let me go further. I'll let you chew on that for a little bit. Even us whom are called, not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. As He says in Hosea, I will call them My people who are not My people, and I will call her My loved one who is not My loved one. And in the very place where it was said to them, you are not My people, they will be called children of the living God. Now, I'm wanting to wrap this up here. I'm probably going to end abruptly, okay? That means you got to come back next Sunday. Because we're going to be doing this through 9. But I want us to see something beautiful here, okay? I want you to know that whosoever will, that's the gospel call. That whosoever will, come. You see that it's sandwiched here in between Romans 9:1 and all the way to Romans 10, that in this, He's not just talking about nations, but He's talking about individuals that make up nations. He's talking about salvation. Because over in Romans 10:9, look what it says, that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Who? Whosoever. Don't you go out there saying, my pastor don't believe whosoever. I believe whosoever. Because I believe this, I quote this, I use this all the time, that if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That is a promise. It's a promise for you. It's a promise for you. And look what he says. He goes on. This is Paul writing in chapter 10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Believe in what? Believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ and our soon coming King. That He did for you, He did for me, what we could not do for ourselves. This is a proclamation. And look what He says. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. You don't profess your good works. You don't profess the things that you've done. You don't profess. You profess in what Jesus Christ did for you. And in verse 13, for everyone who, help me out. Yeah, it's terrible. For who? For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. That is the good news. In John chapter 3, there was a guy looking for Jesus. And his name was Nicodemus. And Nicodemus come, and he come at night probably to guard and hide his reputation. He was a teacher of the law. He was well known. I find it really neat that in John chapter 3, John chapter 4, you find a noted man there who was well known. And then you'll find a lady at the well. They never give her name. They never say anything about her. And this guy came looking to Jesus at night to guard his reputation. She come at noonday because she had no reputation. They had a common denominator. They both were sinners in need of Jesus Christ. And then all of a sudden, he comes and he says, he was wanting to know more about eternal life. And he says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And in his mind, he's thinking, just like many of us would too. How in the world, look at me, how in the world could I be born again? I'm 6 foot. 200, And how in the world can I be born again? Nick, you're not getting it. I'm not talking about being physically born. You must be born from above. You must be born again. For those who aren't Christians, I want to tell you, you must be born again. You must be born from above. What do I do? You repent and turn from your sin. And you call on the one who took your sin and died your death, was buried your burial, and He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And He is risen supreme at the right-hand side of God the Father right now. Amen. And He is our soon-coming King. My heart's desire is for you to know my Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. It's not too late. As a matter of fact, it's just the right time to say yes to the Lord and turn from your ways and turn to His. Millie, if you want to go back and get ready for baptism, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, I understand and know that this was a lot to take in. These are things that we have to mull over, chew on, digest, work through, think through. Because we are so prone and so inclined to think that we're old. The only thing that we are truly owed is hell. Because we rejected you. We turned from you. We exchanged the glory of God for a lie. And we are no better than anyone else. I thank you for that day that Jesus burst on the scene. Born in a manger. Born to die. That we may live. So today we also celebrate your resurrection. And every Sunday and every day that we wake up, we will celebrate your resurrection. And we will wait for our soon coming King. And we will proclaim the good news of the gospel in a dark and dying world. We do pray this morning for the nation of Israel. We do pray, God, that you would protect them, that you would watch over them. We also pray for their salvation. As we do in this country, as we do in every country, that your word and your gospel goes out to the four corners of the earth, that others may come by the hearing of the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together. Let's sing loud, church. Look at the mercy of Christ, the goodness, and what He's done for you and in you and for you.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. Is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after. Is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
You may be seated. This is Millie Gower. I remember when Millie was born, we had prayed for her to even come into the world, and the Lord had wonderful plans for Millie. And just about a week and a half ago or two, Millie came to me, and she wanted to give her life to Jesus. So Millie, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Millie, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried with Him by baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. Amen. Amen. You can go out this way. Brother Jack, I'll let you close this. Hey, walk.